Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Do you think you are part of that 75%? I really didn't think that I would be, but when asked to list out all the subscriptions I paid for, one or two slipped through the cracks that I totally forgot about. One of which was for something that I swore I canceled forever ago. Think about it. Between streaming platforms, apps, delivery services, and even parenting / kid subscriptions, though they all seem like small amounts, when pulled together, that's a pretty big chunk of your spending money out the door. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting time on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/morningcup. That's rocketmoney.com/morningcup. rocketmoney.com/morningcup. Today's podcast is brought to you by newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird
morning.
Cup of murder.
Sometimes it takes a tragedy to change the law. On March 19th, 2005, the body of a young girl was found in a case that, though devastating, saw some positive change in its aftermath. So if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. Jessica Marie Lunsford was born on October 6, 1995, and lived in the town of Homosassa, Florida. A typical 9-year-old girl, Jessica loved to sing, was a top student at her school, played with her toys, loved to ride on her father's motorcycle, and had dreams of becoming a fashion designer or a singer. All of that came crashing down, however, on the night of February 23rd, 2005, when, after kissing her grandmother goodnight and saying her evening prayers, Jessica Lunsford was snatched straight out of her bedroom in the dead of night. Upon hearing his daughter's alarm go off the next morning with no reprieve, Mark Lunsford went to check to make sure that she was awake and found the girl missing from her room. With no signs of forced entry in her room or anywhere else in the trailer she shared with her father and grandparents, Archie and Ruth Lunsford, it seemed like the young girl simply disappeared in thin air. After driving around town yelling out his daughter's name, Mark went to the local police and reported Jessica missing. In the following days, deputies, helicopters, bloodhounds, and mounted posse combed the area while officials from the FBI and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children came in to assist the Citrus County Sheriff's Office in following the, by this point, several thousand leads and tips that were coming in from across the nation. With more volunteers joining the search daily, more than 100,000 flyers distributed, shows like America's Most Wanted doing several segments on the case, and a handful of organizations and businesses, as well as former Atlanta Braves pitcher Mike Hampton, pooling together a $115,000 reward, the Lunsford family hoped beyond all hope that their little girl would come back to them safely. And right along with them, desperate to solve the case, was Sheriff Jeff Dossey, who, according to Ruth Lunsford, never once stopped in the pursuit of finding young Jessica. Searching, as is protocol, all of the listed sex offenders and predators in the county, on March 15th, 2005, Police disclosed that, in doing these routine checks, they found a person of interest who was acquainted with Jessica from family, social, school, or church circles, was a registered sex offender, and had been gone from Citrus County for about 2 weeks by this point. They also announced that, if he did not return for an interview within 48 hours, his identity would be publicly released. And that's exactly what happened on March 16th, when the name John Evander Cooey surfaced in connection to Jessica Lunsford's disappearance. Arrested in Savannah, Georgia on an outstanding warrant of cannabis possession and released after questioning because it was only a local warrant, John Cooey was a 46-year-old resident of Homosassa with an extensive criminal record and with repeated sexual offenses against children. Living not far from the Lunsford family, only 65 yards away to be exact, Ruth claimed that her family never knew nor spoke to John. But considering his 1978 burglary, in which he entered the room of a young girl, police were keen on bringing him in for questioning early in the case. But upon hearing the news, John fled the area. During his arrest, however, John claimed that he knew nothing about the 9-year-old's disappearance and said that he moved to Georgia not because he was guilty, but because he was looking for a better job. Though they were forced to let him go, a few days later, John's half-sister, Dorothy Dixon, gave police permission to search her Florida trailer, where her brother was living at the time of the disappearance, and when they did, they found a blood-stained mattress and pillows stashed in John's closet. When tested, forensics determined that the blood belonged to both John Cooey and Jessica Lunsford. He was officially arrested again on March 17th and charged with murder. Then, finally, on March 18th, 2005, the Lunsford family received the answers that they were both waiting for and dreaded hearing when John decided to give a full confession. Claiming he had seen Jessica playing in her yard prior to her abduction, he said he thought she was, quote, only about 6 years old. He said he entered the home at about 3 a.m. on February 24th through an unlocked door, and upon waking Jessica, told her not to yell and to follow him out the door. She did as she was told, and despite sharing the trailer with multiple people, John managed to sneak her into his bedroom, where he raped the young girl on multiple occasions. He then placed her in his closet the following morning, telling her to remain there while he went to work at Billy's truck lot, and finding the girl incredibly obedient, he kept her this way for 3 days before telling her that he planned on taking her back to her home. In what I'm sure was an act of relief and desperation, the young girl got into the garbage bags as instructed. Instead of taking her the less than 100 yards back home, however, John buried Jessica Lunsford alive after deciding that he could do nothing else with his captive. Given his confession, on March 19, 2005, police unearthed Jessica's body from a makeshift grave and transported her remains to a coroner's office where they determined that her cause of death was suffocation. She had, in her final moments, pressed two small fingers through the bag in hopes of getting some air. Though her body had undergone moderate to severe decomposition, those two fingers were skeletonized. To make matters worse, given the timeline, it is likely that when police came to interview John early in the case during their door-to-door search, Jessica was still alive and hidden in the closet when they entered the home. According to his sister and the other residents of the trailer, none of them saw Jessica in the home, nor did they notice anything strange happening inside of John's room. In fact, they hadn't even gone in there after he fled to Georgia and only found out what was stashed after the police searched the home. On June 30th, 2006, a judge ruled that John Cooey's confession was inadmissible in court because when it was recorded, police had allegedly not granted his request for a lawyer and in doing so, rendered his statements invalid and unreliable under the Fifth and Sixth Amendments. Though this was a major blow to the case, it was ruled that, despite John's objections, all of the evidence found after the confession would be admitted into the trial, as would all incriminating statements allegedly made to the investigators and jail guards after the fact. Moved to Miami after failing to find an impartial jury, on March 7th, 2007, John Evander Cooey was found guilty of first-degree murder, kidnapping, burglary with assault or battery upon any person, and capital sexual battery after just 4 hours of deliberation. They later recommended the death penalty and the case was immediately appealed in the Florida Supreme Court, arguing that with a long history of childhood abuse and a below normal IQ, John shouldn't be sentenced to death for his crimes. They found that his most credible intelligence test rated his IQ at 78, which is 8 points above the standard accepted level of intellectual disability. Given this ruling, he was sentenced to death on August 24th, 2007, in addition to 3 consecutive life sentences. But on September 30th, 2009, John Cooey passed away of natural causes. In the aftermath of this horrific case, on February 19, 2008, before John's death, Jessica's father entered a courtroom threatening to file a wrongful death suit against the Citrus County Sheriff's Office and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, suggesting that Mark was pursuing the case out of greed and claiming that Jessica would still be alive if he had been a better father. He and his lawyers held a press conference in which they stated the suit was, quote, not for money, but for change, claiming they hoped that this would bring changes in procedures and policies, and that, in addition to not searching the trailer when they questioned John, despite the fact that police dogs indicated that she was being held in the direction of the trailer, they spent all of their time and energy focusing on Mark as a suspect and ignored all of the evidence that pointed elsewhere, claiming that they hoped this would bring changes in procedures and policies, and that, in addition to not searching the trailer when they questioned John, despite the fact that police dogs indicated she was being held in the direction of the trailer, they accused investigators of spending all of their time and energy focusing on Mark as a suspect and ignored all the evidence that pointed elsewhere. The lawsuit, as far as I can tell, went nowhere, and Mark did not follow through with his threats. A small silver lining in the case came in the form of Jesse's Place, Citrus County's first child advocacy center. It opened its doors in 2008 and by 2014 reopened in Losanto after it outgrew its original location. It has seen thousands of children enter its doors and helped lead to many prosecutions in cases that would otherwise have been ignored. Another ray of hope was Jessica's Law, which mandates a minimum sentence of 25 years to a maximum of life in prison for first-time child sex offenders, as well as the Jessica Lunsford Act, which requires tighter restrictions on sex offenders as well, in hopes of reducing their ability to reoffend. It has since influenced similar legislation in 42 other states. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear what terrible thing happened on March 20th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there is always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.